Bring forth the kingdom of mercy. Bring forth the kingdom of peace. Jesus came and comes to bring forth a kingdom of healing and a kingdom of new life. And no time of the year do we celebrate that more than here in this resurrection season. On Easter morning, we talked about Peter. We talked about how, well, first we talked about the ladies and how they showed up at the tomb wondering what had happened. Then we talked about Peter and how he showed up at the tomb wondering what had happened. We talked the following week about those two fellows walking along the road to Emmaus, trying to just get away from it all, trying to run to something new, wondering about what was happening and all these stories that were spreading of the fact that Jesus was no longer there in the tomb. And then last week we talked about how Peter showed up back on the Sea of Galilee. Even in the midst of those resurrection encounters, he'd gone back to doing what he knew best. Back to fishing. And the other disciples, they followed him. They fished all night and ended up tired and weary and with an empty boat. Jesus told them to cast that net in a new place. And they drew in 153 fish. Peter didn't even stay to help to row the boat ashore. He jumped out of the water when Jesus called out to him. Threw on his garment, jumped into the water, and headed to shore. He found out he wasn't even going to need those fish because there was something already waiting for him there on the beach. Do you remember what that was? What was there on the beach that Jesus had for Peter and the disciples? Cooked fish. They were cooking. He didn't have to wait for them to get done. The smell already filled the air. The coals were there. And after that meal, when Jesus shared the fish and took the bread that he had and broke it and gave it to him, he pulled Peter aside and he asked him a very difficult question. Do you remember what the question was? Do you love me? And he asked it not once, but he asked it how many times? Three times. Peter, do you love me? Peter got frustrated because Peter knew in his heart that he loved Jesus and he thought Jesus knew it. Peter wanted to make sure there was nothing standing between the two of them in that moment. And every time he asked him that question, he said, then go and feed my lambs. Go and take care of my people. Go and do what I've been doing. And Peter did just that. He did it in a bold way in Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out and he stood up in the midst of people from all over the place that had come to the city of Jerusalem to worship. And he continued to do that in his life in bold ways in the days and weeks and months and few years that would follow. And here is one of the stories of, actually a couple of little stories of how that was lived out in real ways in Peter's life. Peter went off on a mission to visit all the churches. In the course of his travels, he arrived in Lydda and he met with the believers there. He came across a man, his name was Annas, who had been in the bed 8 years, paralyzed. Peter said, Annas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and make your bed. And he did it. He jumped right out of bed. And everybody who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him walking around. And they woke up to the fact that God was alive and active among them. Down the road away in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. Gazelle, in our language. She was well known for doing good, helping out. During the time Peter was in the area, she became sick. She died. Her friends prepared her body for burial and put her in a cool room. Some of the disciples had heard that Peter was visiting in nearby Lydda, and they sent two men to ask if he would be so kind as to come over. Peter got right up and he went with them. They took him into the room where Tabitha's body was laid out. Her old friends, most of them widows, were in the room mourning. They showed Peter pieces of clothing the gazelle had made while she was with them. Peter put the widows all out of the room. He knelt. He prayed. Then he spoke directly to the body. Tabitha, get up! And she opened her eyes. When she saw Peter, she sat up. He took her hand and helped her up. Then he called in the believers and the widows, and he presented her to them alive. When this became known all over Joppa, many put their trust in the Master. Peter stayed on a long time in Joppa as a guest of Simon the Tanner. The Scriptures were taken from Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse 36. Today's sermon entitled, The Wonder of Resurrection Healing. We talked about how Peter had gone back to doing what he knew best last week, about being out there fishing on a lake. But you know, after that encounter with Jesus on the beach, once again he went back to doing something else that he had learned to do best. And that was doing the things that they'd seen Jesus do. These things that Peter was doing was nothing new. You'll read about them in the Gospels. The names of the people, the cities that Jesus was in, they were different. But the stories were the same. Finding those that had been laying on their mats for years and just telling them, take up your back and walk. And when they did, say, go and sin no more. That reaching down and walking into a room filled with grief and pain and hurt and having compassion to do something in the middle of it all. Even in a couple occasions, raising somebody from the dead. Things that are beyond our comprehension in many ways. But yet the Scriptures share these stories of faith from people's lives in years ago. The reason Peter could really make a difference in the lives of these people is because Peter was right with God. When Peter showed up at the tomb that morning and wondered what had happened, Peter wasn't right with God. I don't mean that Peter was this mean, rotten, or disobedient person. I mean that Peter's heart and life was filled with guilt, with shame, with fear, and with doubt about what was going on. Peter had denied knowing Jesus when Jesus was about to face his death. Those things were going through Peter's mind when he was there at the tomb. And that guilt and that shame continued to get in the way through it all. And I really believe it got in the way until that day on the beach. When Jesus really drove the point home by asking that question, do you really love me? And trying to move all of that stuff out of the way in Peter's life. Have you ever been where Peter's at? Where Peter was at that morning at the tomb? Have you ever been in a situation where in a quick burst of anger or in some way that you maybe didn't even plan on doing it, you said something to somebody that you really regretted saying, and the two of you walked away and you really wondered what it was going to be like the next time you got back together? Or maybe you've been in a situation where you hadn't even done anything wrong, but yet it was a situation that was so painful and so traumatic in your life and so difficult to deal with that you wondered what it would be like when you encountered those that were involved the next time around. I can tell you that I have. I remember the second fatal house fire that I was ever involved in as a firefighter. I remember bringing out, seeing that they brought, firefighters that had gotten there ahead of me had brought this one person out, this lady that had lived in her home for years out, and she was deceased, unfortunately, at that point. And made a quick attempt, and I went in to help with the second attempt, and we brought out another victim, her husband, who lived there just as long. He was still breathing a little bit at that point, but it stopped along the way as we were getting outside. And so we had to start CPR right there, side of the road. I remember doing CPR on that man and looking up and looking into the eyes of his 20-something-year-old granddaughter, wondering what was going through her mind. Problem was, that 20-something-year-old granddaughter also worked in the local hardware store where I had to go quite often as a plumber. And I've got to tell you, I went for months avoiding her counter in that store because I didn't want to look into those eyes again. Because I wondered what it was going to be like. Would she think that I'd done enough? Would she be angry at me? Eventually we ran into each other in a way, couldn't get by, and it didn't matter. In fact, she reached out and said, "Thank you." But guilt, shame, anger, frustration, all that stuff got in the way for me. For me reaching out to her. And the same thing was happening with Peter. And Jesus overcame it. And He helped him to be right with God again. And to heal those wounds in his heart. So that he could really learn what it meant to share God's love with others. In ways that was about to change the world. Peter's faith now suddenly had a resting place. Peter's faith wasn't based on how good he could do something, on how well he understood how things were going to work out. His faith was based on the fact that Jesus had died and now was risen from the dead and was making a difference in people's lives. And he couldn't wait to tell somebody about it. And so he reached out and takes the hand and just did what Jesus did. Said, "Just get up and walk. Take your mat and go." And lo and behold, something happened. I wonder what Peter thought the first time he ever saw that happen. And then he walks into this room and it's filled with grief. Think about the grief that's in this room for a minute. This is a wonderful woman. She's a good woman that's made a difference in all kinds of people's lives. They've got all these cloths and all these clothes and they're sharing them with Peter. They're saying, "Look at all the good she did." Peter was moved with compassion, just like Jesus was moved with compassion in all kinds of different situations. And I'm not sure that Peter really knew what to do next. But suddenly, in the middle of it all, he says, "Well, I remember a time when Jesus asked everybody else to leave, and He left me and John in the room with Him, and we just got down and prayed, and something happened." So he invites the ladies to leave. And he does what he saw Jesus do before. He gets down and he prays. And notice the Scripture doesn't say anything about what Peter prayed for or what Peter prayed about to begin with. It just says that he knelt down and prayed. And somewhere in the middle of it, he gets this crazy idea and he looks over at Tabitha's body and he says, "Tabitha, get up." She opens her eyes, reaches out, takes his hand, and together they stand up. And as she gets her bearings and her feet under her, he goes out and invites everybody to come in. And the word spreads from there. Casting Crowns sings a song today. And in it are the words that say, and I believe it's Casting Crowns. Don't forgive me for not knowing that for sure. But anyways, the words in the middle of that song are this. If we are the body of Christ, why aren't Christ's hands healing? Or maybe another way of asking that question is, if we are the body of Christ, in what ways are God's hands healing? Because God still heals today. He called the first disciples to go out into the world two by two and to do two things. To preach the Word and to heal the sick. The call never changed. It's the same today. But sometimes in order to experience and to see that become a reality in the world that we live in, we've got to be willing to get the other stuff out of the way. We've got to be willing to let God get down into those places that we've been, into those things that we've experienced, and maybe even into some of the mistakes that we've made or think we've made, and bring healing to us first. So that we can take the authority that we've been given into a world that needs to know. That needs to know that God is still alive and active among us, as Peter says. So I ask you this morning, as we close in prayer, to look into your own heart with God's love for a moment, or to let God's loving eyes look into your heart for a moment, and to think about some of those things that might keep you from being right with God in a way that you're not experiencing His grace and love. And another thing I need to add, again, before we pray together, need to say about healing. When we're praying for healing for people, we need to know, always remember, there's a big difference between healing and cures. Sometimes God does choose to heal, to cure when we're healing, when we're praying for healing for somebody, but not always. And why, I have no idea. I've got a long list of those questions, again, like I said, that I carry with me and hope that someday when I get to heaven they really won't matter. But they're still there. But God also heals. God heals physically in many cases. There's stories of that all down through the ages and they still come alive today. God heals emotionally. We need healing in our emotions from the places that we've been. And God heals always. God always heals spiritually. God always comes to remove those things like guilt and shame, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness that are in our past and keep us from knowing God's love right here and right now. And so we always need to keep that in the back of our mind when we're talking about healing and we're thinking about healing and when we're praying for healing for someone and hopefully with someone someday. Let's just turn to God in prayer together today. Good and gracious God, we give You thanks. We give You thanks for the Easter season, for the resurrection that comes to make Your love known in many ways, in powerful ways, and in ways that are often beyond our understanding. We thank You, Lord, that the story that comes alive following the resurrection, we realize that You recognize those things that stand between our hearts and You. We thank You that You meet each and every one of us right where we're at today, Lord. And I pray that You'd lovingly look with us into our hearts and help us to recognize those things that get in the way and to let Your love and mercy and grace be poured into them and to bring healing in a fresh, new way today. And I pray that as You bring healing into our lives, Lord, that You would also give us the boldness that You shared with people through Your compassion in so many ways. We pray that You'd help us to see the people that we need to be praying for in our own lives as we journey through this life. And we pray that You'd give us the courage to reach out and to even pray with those who are hurting in this world that we live in today. Lord, we thank You for Your love, Your one love known that is made known in so many different ways and comes alive in so many different ways and is active among us in so many different ways. We give You thanks for that today as we look forward to what You'll do in all of this, as we ask these things and so much more.